96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
We're one city with one future and one point. Put the guns down.
That's Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel just days after a very bloody, very deadly 4th of July weekend in Chicago. 82 people were shot during that weekend. 16 were killed, nearly all of them black or Hispanic men under the age of 35. This violence on the south side of Chicago and sometimes on the west side is not new. And that's why we're talking about it tonight. What's behind the violence and what can be done about it? Well, my guests tonight are Diane Tatiker, president of Kids Off the Block, a youth organization in Chicago. Mark Walsh, campaign director for the Illinois Council Against Handgun Violence, and Abdul Karim Muhammad, a D.C. community activist and youth anti-violence activist. We're talking about this tonight. Lines are open. Give me a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. You can also comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldTFisher, or follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR. I want to thank everyone for joining me in this very important conversation. Diane, let me first start with you. From your perspective, what is the cause of all of the violence that we're seeing in Chicago involving these young black men and Hispanic men?
First of all, thank you for inviting me in.
Uh-huh.
But to me personally,
yeah,
it all boils down to economics. It boils down to investment. There is no investment in the communities like ours across this country. If you look at the violence, you'll see that it's in certain parts of major cities, because those communities are not invested into. They don't have resources within those communities. And if they do have resources, the resources are not invested into. They're mm-hmm. struggling. And I know that firsthand.
Mm-hmm. Mark, same question. From your perspective, is this economics or is there something else?
Well, thank you for having me, first of all, Harold.
Absolutely.
I'd also agree with Diane. And hi, Diane.
Mark.
This is definitely one component of it is the economic piece. I'm just looking at a map that I have in front of me that shows the average homicide rate by Chicago communities since the 1970s. And for the most part, that the communities don't change. So it's just some systemic problems that we talk about or need to talk about, such as education, lack of jobs, dropout rates. When there's a community where 90% of males under the age of 25 are unemployed, and there's a 45% to 48% unemployment rate, gun violence is going to happen. But that being said, there's also easier access to guns than there were years ago, as well as the guns being made aren't your grandfather's guns. The increase in lethality is adding to the problem in cities across the country, not just Chicago.
Abdul, you're here. You're in D.C. You're in Southeast Washington. For those that are not familiar with Washington, Southeast Washington, east of the river, predominantly a black community, has had its ups and downs as it relates to poverty, crime, and the like. But with that said, you're 41 years old. You were old enough to remember when the crack epidemic was most devastating to Southeast Washington. There have been changes, still not perfect there, still high unemployment, still some issues, but we don't really have the kinds of open-air drug markets that we had. D.C. no longer considered Dodge City the murder capital of of America. From your perspective, what changed?
Well, first of all, I would say that the gentrification has had a big impact on our community. I would have to first agree with Mark and Diane about the fact that there is a disparity in our community. If you follow the disparity, you will see that the crime has increased. In fact, in those same neighborhoods where the people feel left behind, there's still a group of people that feels total hopelessness and despair. They feel left behind. They feel like they're not a part of the American pie, as we like to believe. Mm-hmm. And if you speak with someone from that community, they would tell you they don't feel like they're a part of the process. They feel hopeless. They feel, you know, they're no part of the process. Mm.
But one of the things, and you and I discussed this before the program, was, and again, I make reference to, you know, the crack epidemic and when D.C. was just, you know, off the chain with the violence, and we were seeing, you know, 400, you know, close to 500 people murdered via gun violence in D.C. per year. A lot of that was business. It was the drug trade.
Yes.
Okay. Is that the same thing that you're seeing in Chicago, Diane? Is this part of the drug trade? Is it gang violence or is it something else?
I would say it's that and something else.
What's the something else?
The something else is the fact that drugs have become the only economic engine of the community. I mean, even risking death. Jail to put money in your pocket, mm-hmm. knowing the consequences.
Mark?
So I'd say yes, it is.
Mark, same thing. Is there something else outside of the drugs and the gangs? Is there an attitude as it relates to the value of life that may have changed recently and we're beginning to see these deadly dividends pay off?
I think so. I mean, I definitely think that, as Diane mentioned, when the only economic alternative is selling a bottle of water for a dollar or dealing drugs to support your family, you know, that's a problem. But I also think that some of the things we've seen is to your point, Harold, some of that hopelessness creeping into communities. When people say, well, why should I call the police if there's a shooting on my block? Why should I speak up because I may be at risk? Those are the factors that change a community. You know, we talk a lot about, oh, it's these same communities. And, you know, as somebody who was born and raised on the south side of Chicago, I'm often perceived as not being from the south side of Chicago because of my skin color.
Mm-hmm.
When we're there, you know, I have been to Diane's Kids Off the Block many times and have brought groups there from around the city and suburbs, because what they need to see is that it's not an entire community that feels hopeless. There's people like Diane and Mike Flager and Auburn Gresham and countless people that I could name who are saying enough is enough and we're taking back our community.
And I need to take a break, but for those who don't know what your skin color is, you're a white guy. Right?
That I am.
All right. We just want to make sure that we understand that. I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go to the phone lines. I want to hear what our listeners have to say about this, because this is not just a Chicago issue. It's a problem for many urban communities. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. We'll be back in just a bit. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're asking, what's behind the violence in Chicago and what can be done about it? My guests are Diane Tedeker, president of Kids Off the Block, a youth organization in Chicago; Mark Walsh, campaign director for the Illinois Council Against Handgun Violence; and Abdul Kareem Muhammad, a D.C. community activist and youth anti-violence advocate. Lines are open at 202- 319-781-0202, 319-781-0, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Shalonda calling from Glen Burnie. Glen Burnie, Illinois, is that correct?
No, Glen Burnie, Maryland. I'm from Chicago, but I currently live in Glen Burnie.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate you clarifying that. What's on your mind?
I want to first say I was glad to hear you correct earlier your statement about the violence mainly being on the south side of Chicago. It is the west side and the south side, even though the south side gets more publicity because there has been an increase in violence on the south side. But I just want to make it known that it's both sides of the city, which are mostly poor, predominantly black and Latino areas of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the increase happened because, for one, there are no opportunities on the south side in particular. You have a lot of factories that closed up years ago, a lot of jobs that are closed up, and the buildings have been left there dilapidated and run down. There are no job training programs. There are schools that run down. Chicago is a very racially divided city, and many resources are not given to those neighborhoods, and the gangs are prevalent in those areas because many of the kids there feel like they have no hope. They feel like they are going to die. They won't live past the age of 25. And I think the violence escalated about 5 years ago when the city tore down a large amount of housing projects.
Mm-hmm.
When they tore down those projects, they did not think in advance to provide housing for those individuals.
I see.
So those individuals went into neighborhoods that were well-established or had a lower crime rate. And when they did that, the gangs were increased.
I see.
And now the neighborhoods have divided. Instead of just having a community, the gangs have divided into a two-block or three-block radius.
And then it becomes territorial.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I have family there. When I go home, the crime, the violence is so common. When they hear gunfire, I'm jumping on the floor, and they're saying, get up. It's common. It's nothing new to us. But my cousins can't go to school three blocks away because they walk three blocks, and that could be two separate gangs dividing that three-block neighborhood.
Well, Shalonda, thank you so much for your phone call, and I appreciate your passion. I need to take yet another break, but if you are on the phone, stay with me. That includes Diane, Malcolm, Lee, and of course Mark. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Once again, we're talking about the violence in Chicago, what's behind it, and what are some possible solutions. Stay with us. The conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141.
The Howard University